So we're doing the Rapayim in Hilchas Chametz and Matzah, the second Rapayim,
Perek Vav, Halacha Hay.
Okay. It's around for the whole system and Achitim and Ores, and Yeshba Tam Gogam Yotze Boyedei Chalosa. So as long, apparently, all the Ram requires, if you have a combination of Achitim and Ores, it's Tam Gogam. That's it. Okay, so what's the problem with that? With the rabbi, you need
exactly
that. If according to the rabbi was bothered, so the rabbi was bothered, the problem, you don't have a shear of dogon. Right? Okay. So it just shows you at first, Machlais Rishon Gamliel and Hachomim, whether or not you require a shear of dogon. Right? And then he leaves that point out of time. Then he goes into the Magen Mishnah. What does the Magen Mishnah say? Magen Mishnah says that the Ram only held this halacha with regard to Orez and Chita. This is a phenomenon of Grera. And Grera is Mashlam Mashiach. Okay. So, I mean, it doesn't answer the problem. How come the Ram is posting against Rav Shimon Gamliel? But he just explains that there's a process of Grera which is Mashlam Mashiach. Alright? Well, let's just give a descriptive a description of the of what Grera is. Alright, so to describe it, say as follows. Say that the halacha is really that there's five minim that qualify for dagon. Okay? Now, you see there's a machlevish of Yechon Menuri and Chacham, whether or not Ores and Kusman. It means rice and millet. Kusman is spelled, yeah. Arzadachan is millet and rice. So just descriptively what you say is like this. That actually it's not a halacha l'moshe misinai of the five minim. It's a halacha l'moshe misinai of dogon. Question is whether orez and dochan are really qualified for dogon. That's the machlekes tonight. But everybody agrees that if, even though orez is a borderline, there's a borderline case for dagan. So everybody agrees that when the orez is mixed in together with the chitin, so there's a phenomenon of grera. Grera means that the rice sort of becomes is just lacking certain characteristics. But if it's mixed in with the chitin, so then its characteristics are. The chitim impart the characteristics to the rice, and now it all becomes one entity of dagon. It all becomes an entity of dagon. In other words, by itself, it's not dagon. But when it's mixed in with rice, so then the phenomena of... when it's mixed in with wheat, rather, so then the phenomena of grera takes place. And grera actually renders the whole thing dagon. Renders the whole thing dagon. Okay? This is just a description, because we'll see later... Rav Chaim is more specific about what exactly happens in Grera. Okay? But according to the way we're learning now, what we can say is that Grera actually takes the object, which is a borderline case, like the rice, and since it's mixed in together with the wheat, so it renders it all dagon. Gives it all the Shem dagon. Okay? Gives it all the Shem dagon. That's Grera. Okay. So you're dealing with here in this refrain with two phenomena. Phenomena of Tam Ki'ikar and the phenomena of Grera. Okay, Tam Ki'ikar means that since the taste of the chitim of the wheat pervades the entire substance, so therefore it's as if the substance is completely wheat. And then you have a phenomena of Grera. Grera means that the object is lacking characteristics of the dagon, and the wheat somehow or other, since it's mixed in with it, is gorer, drags it along. Grera means to drag. It drags along the rice and gives the rice the characteristics of wheat. Okay? So now what's this problem? So this problem is that you have two sources. You have a Bavli and a Yerushalmi. In the Bavli it says, why does it work when you have the orez? When you have the orez and you have the five grains, the Bavli says, why does it work? That's Tam Ki'ikar. Tam Ki'ikar means as long as the taste pervades the entire substance, so then it's all defined as the other. But then you have the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi introduces a concept of grera, that the rice is dragged along by the wheat, and it becomes becomes dogon, so to speak. Okay, it acquires the characteristics of wheat. So these are two different reasons. These are two different mechanisms. So why do you need both mechanisms? That's what Rav Chaim was bothered with. Okay. Yeah, this is the well, Rav Chaim says like this. The ingeniousness of this Rav Chaim, I mean, his ingenuity over here is really with regard to it's like a new case, like an unusual. And we always said that every Rav Chaim really has an unusual halachic categorization. What's unusual over here is that you have two. What he's showing you is that you have two different halachas that work in two different realms. Okay, the halacha of Tam Ki Iker is the halacha with regard to the substance of the object. In other words, if you have a chameshes amina, so tam kikar, it works by heter, it works by a cheftashal mitzvah like chitim, or works by chaza, for instance. What tam kikar does is it says that if the taste pervades the object, so then the whole object has a din of that. So therefore, halachically, it's defined as that chaza. But it remains a halachic definition. In other words, the halacha defines it as that object. But Rav Chaim says there's a difference between a halachic definition and between the reality of an object being such and such. Okay? Because what would the difference be? You argue, no, halachically they're both defined as the same thing. So why should there be any difference? No, but the answer is like this. Let us say there are certain characteristics that emerge from an object. So those characteristics that emerge from the object will only emerge from the real object. And even though halachically an object may be defined given the definition and the status of that object, when it comes to characteristics that emerge from that object, you can't use the halachic definition anymore. See, that's his distinction. You see, that's the breakthrough in this time over there. That there's a... That Tam Ki'ikir is a very nice halacha when it comes to defining what the status, legally, halachically, what the status is of the object. But characteristics that emerge from the real object will never emerge from the object that is halachically defined that way. Because from the what? Halacha characteristics that emerge from it. Halacha characteristics that emerge from it will never emerge from an object that is merely defined halachically as having the status of another object. Because that's only a halachic definition. But characteristics have to come from the nature of the substance, not from the halachic definition. He said, "That's what his breakthrough is over here." So therefore, what he's saying is like this: that in the case of bread making, we know what is the essence of the bread making process. What is the essence of the bread making process? It's lisha, the kneading of the dough, the isa. The dough is really the essence of the of bread. Without dough, there's no bread. So lisha and isa has to emerge from all. If you take the grains, but grain isn't bread. If you eat grain, it's a bar peadon. But bread comes. When does bread begin? Bread begins the moment you have the phenomena of lisha. Lisha is kneading of the dough. Okay, that's when the bread begins with kneading and it ends with baking. So the kneading process is the beginning of the entity. That's why you see the halacha is you must take challah. You have to take challah when you make a certain amount of bread. If a person is about it's about 3 quarts. If you use about 3 quarts of flour, so then you have to take challah. So the halacha is when do you take challah? You take challah from the isa. The isa, the moment you have that the dough, the kneaded dough, then you take challah from there, because that's the beginning, that's when bread emerges, when it begins to emerge. Of course, if you don't take it at the time of isa, you can take it after baking even, in the oven. Take it even later, you see. But the halacha of challah is to take it from an entity of bread. An entity of bread begins with a dough. So the Chaim says like this, that you see that there's a halachic phenomena of an isa, which emerges from these five grains, from these kernels of grain. How is the kernels of grain eventuate into a phenomena of isa, another halachic phenomena, eventuates out of the five minas. So Rav Chaim says that Tam Ki Iker is very good in defining the rice as being wheat, let's say, in defining the rice as being wheat. But now when a new phenomena arises out of these grains, and you want to have a phenomena of Esau, you can't say just because it's been halachically defined as wheat that the phenomena of dough will emerge from such an object that has been defined as wheat. Dough only arises from something that is actually wheat, not something that's been defined halachically as wheat.
You say you make dough from
according to the halachic system, only the five grains qualify to make dough. It's not considered dough. It's considered you're mixing water and flour over there, but it's not considered dough. What? No, it's rice flour. Rice flour and water is not considered, it's not halachically defined as a dough. See, what he's saying is, yeah, of course, you would say that's the way you would say it. That once it's halachically defined, it's just halachic definition, halachic reality. So now it's defined as the five grains, and now it's going to produce dough. No. It doesn't work that way. Because insofar as the production of dough is concerned, that's dependent upon the essential nature of ketan. That's dependent upon the essence of ketan. Just because in this taruvus, whole taruvus is defined as ketan, doesn't mean it's going to be able to produce the dough. That's what the halachic entity of dough. Halachic entity of dough has to emerge from real ketan, not from ketan that has been, not from the substance that has been defined, has been given the halachic psak and definition in the taruvus that is defined in the taruvus as ketan. That's a different kind of halacha. That's halacha as to what exactly the taruvus is to be defined as. So in the definition of the taruvus, it's a different framework than in defining the essence of an object. Where I need dough, I have to define the essence of an object. So there, I need real wheat. But where I define it, halacha, where I define the taruvus, halacha is wheat. It's only a definition insofar as the taruvus is concerned. It's a halachic definition that this taruvus is defined as wheat. But it's not a halachic definition that the essence of the substance over here is wheat.
It's
a din in the shame of the taruvus, that the entire taruvus is defined as wheat. But it's not a din in the essence that it's essentially defined as wheat. That's important. Shlomo's question was that we always go according to halachic reality. So why don't we say here, since halachic is defined as wheat, so therefore the dough should be able to emerge from it, right? The answer is two different concepts, two different types of halachic definitions. There's a halachic definition where you want to define a taruvus. I have to define a taruvus. What's the nature of this mixture? So like I said, the mixture defines wheat, but that doesn't mean that it's essentially wheat. So therefore, in other words, sometimes I'll there's two types of definition of an object. One is an essential definition where I define it actually as wheat. And another case is where the halacha must decide what a taruvus is defined as. You can't have a taruvus demands, and the halachic system demands a definition. You can't say it's wheat rice. It can't be. We can't have such a phenomenon. I mean, even though in actuality it is wheat rice, but the halacha has to have a definition. It demands in the halachic system, the structure of the halachic system demands a definition. So therefore, Tom Kicker tells me it's defined as we define this mixture as wheat. But it doesn't mean it's essentially wheat. You see? So that's why you can't produce dough out of it. That's what Rav Chaim is. Yeah. In other words, it's a framework of defining a mixture. That's a different framework of definition than defining a substance essentially. Different kind of a framework. So at any rate, that's the realm of Tom Kicker. Tom Kicker, the realm of Tom Kicker is in the substance itself. The realm of Tom Kicker is, in other words, in the taruvus itself. Defining the taruvus, giving it the definition of wheat or giving it the definition of rice. But now there's another phenomenon known as grera. What is grera? Grera already is a different thing. See, grera means that you take you have the wheat and you have the rice. And rice, we said, lacks some characteristics of the wheat. So the grera means that once they're mixed together, Now the whole mixture is considered as having the characteristics of the wheat. So if it has the characteristics, then you could make dough out of it. Because one of the characteristics of wheat is that it produces dough. So what Rav Chaim is saying is that there's two different types of phenomena you're dealing with. One type of phenomena is tam ki ikur, where you have the taste pervades the mixture. That's a general halacha. That's a halacha which deals with defining the substance. But then you have another kind of halacha that deals with the characteristics of the object. Now the reason why the definition defines the substance, you simply give it a halachic definition, but the halachic definition is not an essential definition. So therefore the characteristics can't emerge from that halachic substance. But grera is a halach in the characteristics of the object, because grera means that the rice follows the nature of the wheat, and now you can produce an esau. What was wrong? Why was rice excluded from the category of grains? Because rice doesn't have the ability to produce a dough. However, grera means that where it's involved with grains, to the degree that the taste permeates the entire mixture, now we say it has the characteristics necessary to produce an esau. That's a different concept altogether. Now it itself can produce dough. You see, grera is halacha in the characteristics of the object. It's a different kind of halacha. It's a halacha essentially in production of dough. That's what it is. That's what grera is. Whereas tam ki ikur is just a question of what min is it? What type of object do I have in front of me? Do I have an object of wheat or have an object of rice? But grera is halacha is a different question. It's where the halacha recognizes characteristics. Dough is something which is a phenomena. It has certain characteristics. Grera works in the area of the characteristics, whereas tam ki ikur works in the area of substance. So therefore you need both, because you must have a dough that comes from the five minim. So once the tam ki ikur works, so what does it do? So it defines, gives the whole substance halachic status of the five grains. But then the problem is the dough can't emerge from that halachic substance because it doesn't have the characteristics. In comes grera, gives it the characteristics of dough. Now nothing's lacking. I have the characteristics of dough, plus I have the halachic definition of the five grains. The two parts of the puzzle interlock. I have the whole entity of matzah, and I can eat matzah. I can be eitzah. That's what I'm saying. That's how you put together a halachic matzah. Okay? But that's actually a good point. In other words, the point that Richard's mentioning is very important with regard to understanding the two concepts of tam. There's a tam which is a halachic tam kicker. You see, that's one tam. Then there's a tam which is necessary in order to have the characteristics of grera. There's two tams over here. There's a tam with regard to tam ki ikur. There's a tam with regard to grera. Two different tams. Grera will only work if you have tam, because it can't possibly draw the rice over and give it the characteristics of dough unless it has a certain level of participation in the dough. And that level of participation is tam. So actually there's two tams. There's a tam ki ikur, there's a tam from the tam ki ikur, which halachically defines the min. Then there's a tam insofar as grera is concerned. Okay? Two different tams. Chaim comes back to this point. That the tam over here, you want to say the tam of the Rambam is the tam of the tam lechem. It's not the tam. We'll get back to that. The question, now we get into the Gemara, Sugim Menachas. So the question is, whenever you have a mixture, the main question you have to ask is it min b'mino or is it min b'shen b'mino? That's the major question. Is it two different categories involved, or it's one category, one species? So the Gemara is going according to the sheet that holds it's min b'mino, the same species, there is no bittul. No bittul takes place at all. Why? Because since the only way you could have bittul is where you have opposing forces. Where it's one species, so there's nothing, the bittul can't take place. So therefore, that which is us, there always remains there. You see? Whereas we have opposing forces, so then one counters the other. One cancels out the other. Now the Gemara raises a question. When I have opposing forces, what do I go by? Do I go by the that which actually is mevatel, or that which is butl? Okay? Or that which is butl. What does it mean? The Gemara gives an example like this. Let's say, for instance, you have nevela and shchuta. Okay? Now, nevela means, nevela is you can't eat nevela. Carcass, you can't eat it. Okay, shchuta is fine. Now, it's possible for shchuta to become nevela. How is it possible for shchuta to become nevela? I'm sorry, the other one. Because the nevela is only usher as long as it has a certain characteristic, which is that it's fresh. But if the nevela becomes old, even before rotten, if it becomes not fit for human consumption, so then it's permissible. So you see, so nevela can deteriorate to a point where it's heter. But the shchuta, the heter, will never become, will never acquire the characteristics of Esther. All right. So therefore, the Gemara says now we have to know. So therefore, it's a one-sided situation that the nevela itself can become shchuta, but the shchuta itself cannot become nevela. So if you look at it from the standpoint of the shchuta. So it's min b'she'in amino.
Yes, sir?
No? So if you look from the standpoint that a shchuta could never become nevela, it's min b'she'in amino. You look from the standpoint of nevela, so it's min b'amino, because nevela can't become shchuta. So we want to understand what's going on over here with this. What do you mean if you look from this standpoint, from that standpoint? How does it work? I mean, it should be taruvus means you have two opposing forces in there. We have to define what it is, right?
When
in other words, essentially, something that's non-kosher can become kosher through the process of deterioration. Something that's kosher can never become non-kosher. It's impossible.
Where's the mention of Be'er
Amino? So we have to just be concerned with this sugya, is what is the difference between the two? What is the difference between the two? How does it work? So we said like this, that when you have the process of bittul, so you have a majority which nullifies the minority. That's the way it works. Now the question is like this. One way to explain it is like this. How does the nullification process work? Nullification process works because it converts that which is nullified. Okay, it's a conversion of that which is nullified. Which means to say like this. Let's say that which is nullified is something which is kosher. So now it's nullified and it becomes a treif. All right, it becomes bottle. It's a process in which that which is the minority undergoes a change of status. Then we say a conversion. It undergoes a conversion. That's how it works. You convert the object. First it was kosher, now you're converting it to treif. So the majority actually exerts its influence over the minority by converting it. Okay. But let's say an object really has the potentiality for a certain status. So now I can't say that the majority has exerted on that minority an influence, because it didn't really convert it into anything it itself would never have become. Do you follow? In other words, I guess the whole reason that bittul works is because in the process of bittul, what takes place is that the majority exerts an influence over the minority. What's the influence that it exerts? It converts it. But if the minority itself always had the potential of being, anyways, was going to undergo that process, that conversion. So in that case, I say that the majority lacks any influence over the, has not exerted any influence over the minority. Okay? The Gemara is saying this. The Gemara is saying that if the majority, for instance, is the kosher meat and the minority is the treif meat, so then it won't work. Why won't it work? Because since the treif meat anyways can become kosher, so therefore the majority, which is the kosher meat, is not giving the minority anything new which it itself is not going to have. It's just speeding up the process, but it's not actually converting this. It's not giving it a new attribute. It has nothing to give. It has nothing to give the minority that the minority itself can't get itself. So therefore you can't say So you definitely can't say that it actually exerted an influence on the minority. What it did to the minority is something that the minority would have itself done anyway, which was always in potentia, existed in potentia in the minority. So therefore, the influence of the majority is not considered a valid influence. Okay? That's if I say you go bust a bottle. Yes. Now you have the case of Tivlo Biketza. All right? So the halacha is that you have matzah, a small amount of matzah, and you have a lot of spices. Okay. Now, let's take a look in terms of the majority and the minority. Since most of it is... So now with the case of the matzah and the spices, so you have it like this. The matzah itself can acquire the status of spices by losing the status of matzah. But the spices will never ever qualify for matzah. Okay? So if you say that you go according to what? So if you say you go according to butter, it means in order to have bitl, you have to have that the matzah should become influenced. Right. So the matzah over here can't become influenced. Why? Because the matzah itself, you can't give it anything new that it couldn't have had before. So therefore, what do I say it is? So I say that it's not butl, so it's min b'mino, so the matzah remains. But if I say that what? That you don't have to influence the matzah. I say you go according to the mevatel, you don't have to actually influence it. So then I say that it's min b'shein b'mino. If I go according to the mevatel, so the mevatel is the. If I go according to the mevatel is the spices, and the spices can never become matzah. So it's min bein amino. So therefore, become pot. Okay. Right. Okay. We do in the mevatel side. We explain. We say, like I said, that the only way it will work is if you say that you go according to the mevatel. So that means that the mevatel can only influence the object with its own inherent characteristics. So if the mevatel is, let's say the mevatel is the spices. Now the spices really is what? The spices really can never become matzah. So therefore it influences it with its essential nature, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore it will take place. Therefore it's min b'shein amina. Okay? If it was min b'shein amina. If matzah was the mevatel, so matzah couldn't do it because it couldn't essentially, there's nothing in its nature that'll be mevatel. All right. However, if I go according to the bottle, there's two ways to look at it. In other words, one way to look at it is in the bittul process you have nullification. The question is the object that's nullified must it sustain a. And must the object nullified sustain something that's against its nature? Or, that's one way, or else I say no, that which nullifies must nullify with its essential nature. So therefore, if that which nullifies is going to become like that which is nullified, so it won't work. It won't nullify. So now let's take the case of the tavlin and the matzah. So if I say that which is nullified has to what?
Go through
a substantial change. So the matzah didn't go through a substantial change. Because the matzah itself really is never going to become changed anyway. Right. But if I say that that which nullifies has to nullify with its own nature.
Right. The spices will work. The matzah won't.
So the spices can actually nullify with something from its own nature. Because its own nature is it'll never become. Its nature is directly opposed to matzah, inherently. So therefore it'll nullify it. That's the way we explain it. Okay? That's the question. The question, in other words, boils down to whether matzah and tavlin is min b'mino or min b'shein amino. If it's min b'mino, so then it's not bubble. If it's min b'shein amino, so it is bubble. Okay? So the Gemara says, Taisus, now the Gemara says, if you say that it's min b'shein amino, so the Gemara says it will become bubble. Now, once it becomes butl, so then you have no more, you have no more matzah, and it's no good, right? Well, so that's what Taisus moves in with this question.
Yeah.
So Taisus answers this question. The Taisus question is that why even if I the Gemara says if I say it's min b'shein amino says butl, so Taisus a question, but tam ki ikar, okay, but tam ki ikar. But Taisus assumes that this tam over here, what? It's tam of matzah, and therefore it's tam ki iker, and therefore it shouldn't become butl. So the face that's the answer, Spiritus Asugus. He has no answer, basically. Okay? So Reb Chaim steps in. What did he say? Good. In other words, what I was trying to say like this, that the, you're right, that there's a difference between something not becoming butl because of tam ki ikar, and there's a difference between something not becoming butl because of min b'mina. If something doesn't become butl because of min b'mina, it means there's no process of it. So the object is extant, it exists. Okay? That's min b'mina. But in min b'sha'in amino and tam ki ikar, it's true that the object does become butl, but the nature of it not becoming butl is not the same. It doesn't mean that the object actually remains intact. All it means is that halachically, the whole entity acquires the shem of the of the substance as no same time. It acquires the din of the substance as no same time. But in fact, it doesn't mean that the object is not involved in the process of bittul. You see? In other words, like this. In other words, tam ki ikar is a halachic phenomenon. It means it gives the entire taruvus a din of that thing which is no same tam. All right. However, it doesn't mean that which is not, and the thing isn't bottle, because of course you're going to say it's bottle. So then how could it be? How could it define the entire taruvus? But you can't say either that the object is intact insofar, for instance, as the object being capable of producing results that it would ordinarily produce, characteristics that it would ordinarily produce. See, in tam ki ikar, you're not saying the substance remains intact so that it can continue to produce effects, normal characteristics that it would ordinarily produce. What you're saying is that the whole taruvus is halachically defined as that entity, that object. But insofar as the characteristics that result from it, You can't speak about the characteristics, because you didn't say, you're not saying since I mean b'mino, what you're saying is the object remains intact. So if an object remains intact, any characteristics that result from that object's existence will still always result. You see, that's by min b'mino. But by tam ki ikar, what you're saying is that everything requires the halachic definition of that substance which is giving the tam. True. But you cannot, it doesn't mean that there is no, that it's not involved in the taru, it's not involved in a phenomena of bittul. It doesn't mean that it remains intact, so to speak. Bittul still takes place. It depends on what you're discussing. In other words, if you're discussing the phenomena that result from the object, so the fact that tam ki ikar gives the whole mixture, a halachic definition of the chitim, let's say, doesn't mean that the chitim have not been involved in bittul, you see, insofar as characteristics that may result from the chitim. In other words, you can't say, see, a halachic definition doesn't mean, the halachic definition of tam ki ikar, which gives the whole mixture a din of chitim, does not mean that the chitim have not been touched, that they still remain intact. All it means that there was a conflict in the taruvus, there was a conflict, and the conflict was resolved in halachic terms as being defined as X. But the conflict has taken place, and since the conflict has taken place, so you cannot say any characteristics which naturally result from the substance in the conflict has to be, unless you have halachic information that defines it. You see, you can't say these characteristics are still in existence. Do you follow what I'm saying? So by min b'mino, what you're saying is that the wheat actually, min b'mino, there is no bittul. So min b'mino, the kezias of wheat that's there, remains intact. If it remains intact, any characteristics that should naturally emerge when it is by itself will also continue to emerge here. But in min b'she'en amino, where there's a conflict between the two minim, and we resolve it halachically as being defined as wheat, let's say, so it doesn't mean the kezias of wheat has remained intact. The kezias of wheat has been involved in a great conflict. And it's involved in a process which ordinarily would result in bittul. However, the halacha has decided that has given it the definition of wheat. But now you can't say that the kezias of wheat has remained intact insofar as it's producing certain characteristics that it would normally produce. That you can't say, because you have only resolved it halachically on the plane of defining it as wheat. But beyond that point, the weed, you can't say the weed has remained unharmed, untouched, so to speak, so that it can continue to produce characteristics. That you can't say. The weed has been involved in a conflict. And halachically, we've decided that the whole thing is defined halachically as weed. But the weed itself cannot be considered that it was as if it remained untouched insofar as producing secondary characteristics, you see. In other words, you cannot have secondary characteristics emerge from a situation of tam ki ikka, just like they won't emerge from a situation of regular bibble, you see. Because the object has really been involved in a conflict of nimbus shein amino. And the halachic definition does not mean that it has simply remained unharmed. It means that it has succeeded in defining the mixture as such and such. But now, insofar as the production of secondary characteristics, that depends upon whether the object has remained unharmed, untouched at all, or completely. That's the only way that the secondary characteristics are going to emerge if the object naturally remains in its natural state unharmed. But that's not the case when he's paskin tam ki ikka. You see? That's what they're applying to. If you notice, there's a phenomena of a taruvus. A taruvus requires a hachra, so to speak. The taruvus requires a nimbus shein amino, requires a hachra. It requires a definition. But it's been involved in a conflict of a taruvus. It hasn't become bottle in the sense that it exerts an influence in defining the taruvus. But the object itself, only where we have a halachic definition can we say that it's extant. But you can't say it's extant in the sense that it will continue to produce secondary characteristics. That it won't, that it's not capable of doing. That's right, that's what he's saying, right. That's true. That's what he's adding from before. Before, he said that that which is new is defined halachically. But the old remains. Now he's adding that the old is also affected, and the old is also non-existing the way it was before in its natural state. And the whole entity becomes a halachic entity, the old and the new. But you cannot speak of the old as just being there and not being in other words, what he's saying is in min b'she'en amino and tam ki'ikr, the substance itself, you cannot speak of the substance as being expanded. The substance, for all intents and purposes, has been bubbled. The only thing is that the halacha of tam ki'ikr has actually has given the whole taruvus a separate chalas shem. It's given the whole taruvus a chalas shem. But the original substance is really gone. Really gone. As a substance, it's gone. It's gone as a substance, but as a halachic phenomenon, it's not gone. In other words, the substance itself has died, but in its trace, it has left the halachic definition.
And that relates back possibly to the two categories of the state of the nature.
Now Tosfos' question is answered. Because what Tosfos' question? His question is that in the case over there in the Gemara, what is the Gemara saying? Is it Mimbashain Amino? That it'll become bottle? The Tosfos asks a question. He says, what do you mean, Tam Kikr? Oh, so Chaim is very simple. Tom Kik is very good insofar as defining the whole mixture's stinkum. But over there you need matzah. In order to have matzah, you have to have pas. In order to have pas, you have to have the phenomena of an iso. And the phenomena of an iso cannot emerge from a mixture in which there was simply a Tom Kik that defined it as a stinkum. But if it's Mimbamino, then it's wonderful. Because then the Kizayat Sadagon remains there. In fact, since it remains unscathed, so therefore it can continue to produce secondary characteristics, which means Esau, it will become part of an Esau. It will eventuate into an Esau. If it eventuates into an Esau, so then you have your matzah.
It's really
you
can be
no idea. Point
Tosfos, on the other hand, would seem to have held, you know, somehow or other, that if Tom Kikr works, so even the characteristics of Esau will emerge. That seems to be very difficult. Tosfos remains difficult, because Reb Chaim is right logically. Tom Kikr shouldn't affect the characteristics of Esau.
But
Tom Kikr is the only halachic definition. Tosfos seems to disagree with Reb Chaim. For Rav Chaim, meantime, is satisfied with answering Taisa's kasha.
This is the exception of the original idea.
By the way, Rav Chaim returns to that problem, and that Taisa seems to disagree with his whole thesis.
Right.
In the very last paragraph, the name of Divya Taisa comes back to it. So therefore, but the Mishnah does say that if you have, Taisus does quote a Mishnah, that if you have rice and you have wheat, that it does work. So the answer is, the Mishnah Taisus is quoting is speaking with rice and wheat with his Grera. That's why over there it works. But Taisus has no right to equate that to the case of Tavlin in the Gemara Menachos, which is not wheat where there's no process of Grera, so all you have is Tom Kaker. You follow? So the Gemara Menachos is wonderful. And the Mishnah is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Both work out very nicely. One needs Grera and one doesn't.
Very good, but
Grera works on a different level. Grera works on the level of characteristics. Grera is a phenomenon unique to the case of Orez. It's not a universal. Tom Kiker is a universal, dealing with substances and Shemos. Whereas Grera is indigenous only to Orez and Chitim. It's specific. So therefore, Grera is a phenomenon that deals with characteristics. That's what our plan is saying. You say it's a different type of phenomenon.
So the fact that the...
What Greer is telling you is that there is no bitl of the wheat and the rice. But on the contrary, when these two things get together, there emerges the concept of Esau, the characteristics of the Dagon. Let's put it this way. I mean, the point is that when you have the halacha of Tam Ki Iker, there is no bitl in the halachic sense. There is no halachic bitl of the substance. That's the... Remember, you see, our plan tries to loop it over. It says... That even though the very lower machadish yetsam adava gam kein enim is batal al yedei halos hadin shel tam ki ikar. Of course, you see, what he means to say is that on the halachic level, tam ki ikar does not allow bittul. Not on the substantial level. On the substantial level, tam ki ikar doesn't play any role. So therefore, anything which naturally should emerge from the substance, tam ki ikar will not help you. What it means is the substance has left halachic consequences. That's the definition of tam ki ikar. The substance leaves halachic consequences, but the substance didn't remain as it was before. What Greira says is, instead of the mixture resulting in a conflict, on the contrary, they combine together and they become one entity insofar as characteristics of Esau is concerned. Mm-hmm. That's precisely what Greira does. That's similar characteristics. But by Tavlin there's a total conflict. There's a conflict between the Tavlin and between the Chitin. These are two different types altogether. There's no greater over there. So then we can only discuss Tam Ki Iker. Tam Ki Iker will only define it as a Chameshus Amin, but you'll never have a phenomena of bread emerging from such a thing. Now, his problem is like this. His problem is the Raivid learns that Tivla B'Tavlin is discussing a case in which you already have matzah. And now what do you do? Now you mix in the Tavlin. So now you don't have the problems. You don't need Greira over here. Because Greira is only necessary in order for the phenomenon of Issa to emerge. But if you have a substance that already has been defined as matzah, and now you're mixing that up with Tavlin, so all we need is Tom Kicker. Tom Kicker will define the whole thing as matzah. Okay? So if that's the case, so then Taisvis Kasha returns.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because Taisvis says that you see that we hold that Tom Kicker. Once you have Tom Kicker, now you have a Din Lechem. So what's the Gemara saying? That if it was Min B'Mino, you can't be Yotzei, but Min B'Shein Amino, you can't be Yotzei. Even Min B'Shein Amino, you can be Yotzei, because once you have the matzah ready, and now you have Tom Kicker, so you have matzah. Yeah, that's right. And that's what, then it's fine. So in other words, our Chaim is showing there's a difference between the halacha based upon what he's saying. There's a difference between Kodem Afi and Lach Afi. Kodem Afi, you're going to need the phenomenon of Esau, so then you don't have it because the substance is gone. But Lach Afi, now you have already the Chalish Shem, the entity, the halachic definition of matzah. Now Tam Ki Iker, if the Tam pervades the entire mixture, so it's all defined as matzah, and the Shem in Din Lechem, it will now spread throughout the entire entity, because you have already a Shem Lechem. If you don't have a Shem, in order to have a Shem Lechem, you must have a phenomenon of Esau. So you can't have a phenomenon of Issa from a din of Tom Kicker. But once you have a din lechem in the chepta, now all you need is a halachic spreading of the shame lechem. So that takes place through Tom Kicker. So the whole thing is defined as lechem, and the whole thing is defined as lechem in the full sense. Lechem in the full sense means it comes from the five grains, and already it had a din Issa also. The Denisa was already used to make up the entity of the Shem Lechem. Now all I have to do in Tom Kicker is to spread the Shem Lechem. So that Tom Kicker will work. So therefore, Taisus Kasha returns that there's no difference between the case in the Gemara, the case in the Mishnah, and where Tom Kicker is effective, and over here. So whether it's Min B'mina, Min B'sheina, Mino, it should be good because of the halacha of Tom Kicker. So the return of Taisus Kasha comes back on the Riven. That's what he's saying. In other words, what Reb Chaim is showing you is that it's not that Tom Kicker is ineffective in producing a Shem Lechem. It's very effective in producing a Shem Lechem, provided the substance that you're dealing with already has the Shem Lechem. But it's not effective in producing a Shem Lechem if the substance that you're dealing with does not have the Shem Lechem and needs certain characteristics in order to acquire the Shem Lechem. Then the Tom Kicker is helpless. But if the Shem Lechem is there, then the Tom Kicker can certainly be effective in giving the halachic definition of Lechem to the entire mixture.
That's all you need?
That's true. At this point in the Reb Chaim, an interesting thing emerges. Namely, that there's no such phenomena as saying that I'll be Yotze if I eat, if I consume the kezias of the matzah within the mixture. Why? Well, let's say the halacha of chaza. You have a kezias of chaza, b'chtei achilas pras. So either you're going to tell me I'll violate the halacha by consuming a kezias of the mixture, or else I wouldn't violate it by consuming the whole mixture. But to say that I'll violate it by consuming the whole mixture, because by consuming the entire mixture I've consumed the kezias of chaza, that position seems to be untenable. Why? Because the kezias of chaza is not there anymore. It's only, it has eventuated in the definition of iser chaza on the entire mixture. You can't say the kezias of chaza remains intact, which would seem at this point to be against the Rambam, because the Rambam does paskin that tamo omamasho is loken alav. But v'hu sheyochal kezayis bechtei achilas pras. The Rambam paskins that way. The Rambam paskins that if you have a mixture and the tam exists in the entire, pervades the entire mixture, you will not be over if you consume a kezayis of the mixture. You'll only be over if you consume the whole mixture and... If you say simply that Tom Kicker is a halacha that the Tom is ma'akif bittul, you see, then you're going to be equating the process of Tom Kicker with the same process of Min B'mina, which you're going to say in both cases that the object remains intact. But if you're going to say, like a Chaim says, that Tom Kicker really is not a halacha that the substance is not bittul, but it's a new definition that devolves upon the entire Taruvas. But the substance, and the substance is gone. So if that's the case, you can't maintain the position that you have to consume the entire mixture
in order to be loka.
In order to be loka, and thereby consume a kezias, because it wouldn't make any difference either kezias of the mixture you'll be loka, or you won't be loka if you consume the whole thing, not at all. And yet the Rambam maintains in Perektes Vav and Hilchos Machlokes Asuros that you'll only be loka if you consume the entire mixture and thereby consume a kezias as well. That's an interesting question. Good question. Yeah.
No.
So that was a brief digression. But now let's get back to the problem with the Riven. So according to the Riven, you have Taisus Kasha. That Tom Kicker should validate the entire mixture, and even if it's Mimbashane Amina, should be good. So what does he say? So he answers. Elo Lodasa Riven.
What?
So he says, but it's no problem on the Riven anyways. Because according to the Riven, what is the Chiddush of the Halacha? The Chiddush of the Halacha is that you don't need Tam Matzah. Tivla B'tavla means that the man will not have the Tam Matzah. That's the whole purpose of the member of Tivla B'tavla. That you don't need the Tam Matzah. And you Yotzei without it. So therefore, it's speaking where there is no Tam. It's speaking where there is no Tam. So therefore, unless I say Min B'mina Lo Bakul, I'm going to be stuck. Because if I say if it's min b'shein amino, so there's no tam, so it'll become bubble. Okay? That's the halach of tivla b'tavlin. You use tavlin, which is very strong, which destroys the taste of the matzah. So therefore, the Gemara is very good. But according to Tosfos, Tivlo B'Tavlin is not coming to teach you anything about Tam Matza. But Tivlo B'Tavlin is coming to teach you about the din matza emerging when you mix it in together with the Isa before it becomes leaven. So therefore, Tosfos Kashya is Tam Tika. You see. All right. But according to the Ravid, there's no problem. But according to the Ravid, it's speaking if there was matzah already. And what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is Tivul B'Tavlin is teaching you the Brice of Tivul B'Tavlin is teaching you that what? That you don't need Tam. Right. Now we had a side point. I think maybe
it's Matzah Mavushelas.
The Rambam Matzah Mavushelas. Where's the Rambam? Right. Follow Matzah.
But Matzah Mavushelas, you're not
Yetzir. Why is Matzah Mavushelas not Yetzir? The Rambam says you're not Yetzir because it doesn't have the Tam. It doesn't have the Tam. So it seems that the halacha is
that
you do need tam. In other words, because matzah is always not yetzer, because there's no tam. So therefore, so tivla and the rabbi doesn't argue on that Rambam. So therefore, tivla the tavlin should be the halacha that what? It shouldn't be good because you don't have the tam matzah, right? But the difference, of course, is that over there by matzah mavushelas, the halacha is that the matzah per se,
the chefta per se
doesn't have tam. That's where you're not yetz and matzah.
Right.
But over here by Tivla B'Tavlin, the matzah itself does have a tam. The only thing is that the person can't. Can't discern the. Okay, so once again, the part where it starts with Bisham is attorney?
Yep.
Bisham Paragimel L'Chala. So that part he proves one thing. The fact that you definitely hold, even they hold Tam Ki Iker, like let's say Quentin Biechen, and definitely holds Tam Ki Iker, still some machlekes whether you need Rav Dagan or not. So why should you need Rav Dagan if you hold Tam Ki Iker? So the answer is because you need Tam Ki Iker is just a halachic phenomenon in the Terrorists. But if you want to produce Esau, you have to have the actual Dagan. So in order to have the actual dogma, what do you require? Rove dogma. And rove, it's not bubble. It's actually there. So therefore, it's capable of producing an entity of Isa. All right? Okay, unless you have, where don't you need rove? We have already. But then you have the phenomenon of rove. Okay. Before we had a question of whether Rav Shimon Gamliel require, Rav Shimon Gamliel Chachamim, whether you require Kazayas dogma in the Taruvus. So now Rav Chaim says that whole machlokes doesn't make any sense. Why? Because the kezayis, what's the kezayis going to do? What you have to have is either grera or rove, because you have to produce an isa. Now, what if the sheer kezayis doesn't mean anything? So, of course, the kezayis is not going to be unless it's rove. But if it's not rove, so you still only have tam ki iker, and you're not going to have your isa. Unless you have rove, unless you have grera. So the question is, so what does Rav Shimon Gamliel need a kezayis for? He should need either rove or he should need a grera, the marsha. There's no need for a kezayis. If you're all from grera, you don't need a kezayis. If you're all from rove, you certainly have a kezayis. Right? So that's the problem now. So go ahead, what does he say? Yeah. Mishum de belavach he pocket din lachen gamei dagan atma shvera terorim. Because what we're saying in Tam Ki Iker is that even the dagan itself, remember the Rambam pointed out that even the dagan itself, that was the second step, where he said even the dagan itself loses its own nature. It's not unscathed. Remember, yeah, bittul really takes care of it, and that's why even the kezayis dagan itself cannot produce an isa, cannot eventuate in an isa. Okay, that's why it says. But the Gemara Menachas shows you that the only thing that will work is what? Is min b'mina lo batl. But if it's min b'shein amina, even though it's Tam Ki Iker, it's still not going to help you any. Why? Because Tam Ki Iker can't help you in producing a cheft of Isa. Alright? Or the case the Yashami says. Yashami says you need Rav Dagan even though you have Tam Ki Iker. So what he wants to show you is that when you have Tam Ki Iker, you'll need either min b'mina lo batl or else Rav. Either one of those two phenomena. Why? Because actually it's three possibilities. It's either min b'mina lo batl or Rav or Grera. or any one of those mechanisms will be good. But essentially, Dreher is a different phenomenon, really. It's a whole process. But essentially, it boils down to Mindamina La Butla Ro. Because in either case, the substance remains intact, unaffected. Yeah. Okay. He's in the case of the in these cases which he mentioned, the Yerushalmi and the Gemar Menachos. Over there, you're not speaking. You're speaking about Tavlin. So there's no question about the shear, about whether the Tavlin is mashlin or shear. So you definitely must have how much. You must have what? Kazayas of Dagon. That's for sure in that case. So there's no room for machlokes. And still, in what we say, even though there's a Kazayas of Dagon, still in what we say, that Tom Kicker won't help you because the Kazayas Dagon itself will lose its, will be lost and will never be able to enter the second stage of Esau. Okay? That's what he means. So now the problem is, now there's a question. So even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you're going to have to come on to Gerera. Right? So now, right? So therefore, how could the Magid Mishnah say that the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid is contingent upon Gerera, but everybody agrees it has to be Gerera. That's not the Machlokas, the Chacham and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Right? Now we have to ask another question though. What is the machlekes of Shem Gamliel and Chacham? I mean, since Shem Gamliel has to have Gerera, so what's the machlekes? Where's the room for machlekes? Once you have Chitim and you have Tom Kikr, so you have Gerera. Right? So what does he say? Here's where he gives definition. So he says, now the machlekes is whether or not it's true Gerera gives it a Shem Lechem. Gerera gives it a Shem Lechem. But the only question is, do I say that the Isa now is completely Lechem, and any part of the Isa that I take is completely Lechem, or do I say no, that it has the Shem Lechem? But the only thing is, insofar as the Chameshes Haminim being Lechem, that only is retained in the Isa. But let's say, for instance, I had half a Kazayas of Dagon, and it was no Saint Tom. Okay? What he's saying is like this. In other words, this Gerera insofar as the phenomena of Esau is concerned. The Gerera works insofar as the phenomena of Esau. Esau is a phenomenon. I mean, that's the whole essence of Reb Chaim, is that Esau is a phenomenon. So Gerera works insofar as the phenomena of Esau. But the Shem Lechem will be restricted to that Kezias. Because Lechem has to be from Chameshes Aminim. But Gerera means that there is a phenomenon of Isa that has taken place over here.
Yeah, different than Pompeii.
The Shem Isa. Yeah. There's a Shem Isa.
How's that different than Pompeii?
See, Isa is a phenomenon. That's what Chaim is trying to say. The whole essence of this Reb Chaim is that Isa is a phenomenon which emerges from the Chameshes Aminim. So Gerera is a halacha that you can have an Isa. But the actual Din Lechem will only be in the Kezias that came from the Chameshes Aminim. The rest is just a phenomenon of Isa. That's what Gerera does. That's the question. Is Gerera work with regard to the phenomena of Esau, produces a phenomena of Esau, but actually the Lechem remains that which was from the Chameshes Aminim, or Gerera is a whole conversion process, in which everything becomes Lechem. Everything becomes Lechem, becomes like Chameshes Aminim. That's the machlokes between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Chacham. What he's saying is like this. What he's saying is that now that Gerera emerges on two levels. What he's saying is that now that Gerera emerges on two levels, there's a Gerera which is a condition, and there's a Gerera which is halach in the substance. Okay? There's a Gerera of Esau, a Gerera which is a Gerera in the Esau. What does the Gerera in the Esau do? It just creates a phenomenon of Esau, right? But the phenomenon of Esau is only a condition in which the Lechem, the Isas Lechem, can survive. That's one kind of Gerera. But then there's a Gerera where we actually convert the rice into wheat. You follow? Okay, that's different. That's a Gerera where we actually convert the rice. And that Gerera is a Gerera in the Chefza, which the Chefza becomes an actual substance of Chitim. You see? So that's what he said. His question was, why did the Magid Mishnah emphasize in the Rambam the idea of Gerera? If everybody holds from Gerera, he says no. Everybody holds from Gerera insofar as Gerera being a condition. But the Rambam has to hold from Grera, he paskin like the Chachamim. So he holds from Grera more than just the condition, but Grera is a substance. So that's why the Magad Mishnah says that the whole Yesod of the Rambam is Grera. Because the Magad Mishnah is referring to the fact that the Rambam is lacking in the Shear, because the Rambam himself paskins that there, that you're not mitzvah, that there is no Rambam himself from Tom Kicker paskins that the whole thing does not. Even when I say Tom Kicker, I'm still lacking in the Shear.
Right.
So the Rambam's going to be at a loss with all, even how is he going to explain over here that he doesn't have the Shear and that it's good? Why should this Tom Kicker be any different? So the answer is because the Grera is, it's a Grera in the Chefza. The Grera actually is mashlim the Shear. That's why the Rava Magid says that the essence of the Rambam is in Grera. See, because what he means to say is that the whole essence of the Rambam is dependent upon the fact that the what is most important in the you have to be concerned with according to the Rambam. Where's your chafta? Where's your chafta? Grera is the soul that gives you the chafta. You see, but he's not talking about the phenomenon of Grera as a conditional phenomenon in the Issa. The phenomenon of Grera in the Issa is not talking about. That, of course, everybody holds from. That Grera is a phenomenon insofar as Issa is concerned, the phenomenon of Issa is concerned, Grera definitely is a factor. That is not discussing. He's discussing Grera insofar as the sheer dagon that's required. And that's why he says that the whole thing is, the whole Yesod of the Rambam is Grera. Because without Grera, you'd have no Chetza.
Okay?
So there's two Greras. There's a Grera which everybody agrees with.
What's the actual condition?
In other words, the fact that you have a Shem Esau, everybody agrees with Grera, that Grera produces a Shem Esau.
Mm-hmm.
But is that Shem Esau, does Grera actually, so in other words, the Esau is one type of Grera. That's the phenomenon of Esau. Now that phenomenon of Esau, the question is whether it's just a situation where you can have a lechem in it, you can have lechem in it, or the whole thing is considered dagon. So the Rambam's dependent completely upon Grera. He doesn't mean the Grera which creates the Shemisa. He means the Grera and the Chefza. It's a different kind of Grera, because otherwise he wouldn't have a Shear. It's two kinds of Grera. There's a Grera as a condition, there's a Grera and the Chefza. Okay? But now let's deal with the Rambam himself. We asked the problem before. We said, according to our Chaim, that Tom Kicker, what do we say about Tom Kicker? You don't say that Kizayis of whatever it is, it remains intact. Because you see, you can't produce an Issa. Right? So how come the Rambam Paskins in Ochos Machol of the Surah says, yeah, the Kizayis of Chazer mixed in, and it's no St. Tom, still you don't violate the Isser unless you eat everything. Because you have to eat the Kizayis. So you have to eat the Kizayis, right? Ah, but the question is, Mimonavshach, if the Rambam holds Tom Kicker, I mean, if the Rambam doesn't hold Tom Kicker, then you can't explain this Rambam altogether over here, right? Apparently, Reb Chaim holds the Rambam did hold Tom Kicker. An interesting thing. But what's going to, if you're going to say the Rambam Paskins, Reb Chaim told the Rambam Paskins that's Tom Kicker, so then I would ask, why do you have to consume that Kizayas of Chazan? Mimonavshach. If you're going to tell me that Tom Kicker is there, so the whole thing should be converted. How am I going to tell me that it's not the Tom Kicker, that you only have the Kazayas? So then you tell me no halacha. You tell me halacha that in Tom Kicker you're preventing the Kazayas from being bottled. That's exactly what Chaim said not that way. You understand? Because the Chaim's question was, that was Taisus Kasha. That was all Pesach Kasher. Rav Chaim answered. He says, no, in Tam Ki'ikr, I don't say that the remains unaffected. So according to on the contrary, even as a substance is gone, right? The only thing is, as a substance is gone, it doesn't remain intact. So if that's the case, so what am I gaining by consuming the entire mixture in order to have the Kizayas Chaza? The Kizayas isn't intact anymore. It all merged into one entity of Tam Ki'ikr. And either the whole thing is qualified, so I can take Kizayas the whole thing, or if I consume the whole thing, it won't help me, because that Kizayas doesn't remain intact anymore. You understand what I mean? I think this is what I think it is. In other words, like this. What our Priam holds is that the Rambam does hold from Tom Kicker. also from Tom Kiker. Ah, you'll tell me if he holds from Tom Kiker, so then the Manashef either a Kazayas or the whole mixture, or else the whole thing wouldn't be any good?
Right.
No, he holds like this. He holds that the two things happen. In other words, first of all, the whole thing becomes defined as Chazer. But the only thing is that it's defined as Chazer, but it isn't defined as the sheer Chazer. The sheer Chazer can't be greater than the Chazer itself that was put into the mixture. You see? So what it means is like this. That you have, what does it say, the Kezias in Hadron Mold, 8 Beitzen?
Right.
Is
it 8 or 4?
4. It's 8 times ratio. 4, right? It's 1 to 8 ratio. So you have 1 Kezias to 8 Kezias, right? So the Rambam maintains that if it's no same Tom, that it all becomes one entity. It all becomes one entity. One shame or iser of chazer. But the only thing is that how much, that what about shear? There's a problem of shear. I mean, the Torah has to have a shear, right? The shear derives from the amount of chazer that went into the mixture. Mm-hmm. So it's one entity of eight kezaisim, and with a shear kezias. That's what it is. So it's not that the Rambam holds you have to consume consume that kezias that's in there. You see, as if that kezias remained intact. If you're going to say that, that's against the whole Rambam. Right. The halacha is the kezias didn't remain intact because it's all Tom Kiker. You see, it's all Tom Kiker. The only thing is that in creating a new issus, a teruvus through Tom Kiker, you have an Hashem Chazer in the whole mixture. But the Rambam was bothered with one problem. You have Hashem Chazer in the whole mixture. What about the Shear Chazer? What's the Shear? So the Rambam held, the Shear cannot be greater than the Din Shear in the entire Chesed cannot be greater than the amount of Chazer that went into create the Torah. That's Allah. So it has a Din Shear of a Kezias. Not that you're trying to consume that Kezias that somehow is floating around in this mixture. You're trying to make sure you get that Kezias. If you say that, that's against the entire plan. You understand what I mean? Because then you're going to be saying, then he knocked off his whole answer. Because then you're going to say that in Tom Kiker, that Kezias remains intact.
Right.
So then you can have an Esau. Then it's just like Nindamino. You understand? Then it's just like Nindamino. No, the shot is, it doesn't remain intact in Tom Kiker. But the Rambam's requirement is there's an abstract halacha of shear. The question is, now he created a new taruvus, right? Question is, fine, it's a shem chazer, the whole thing shem chazer. Well, how much is the shear of this chefza? What kind of halacha of shear does this have? The answer is, it has the halacha of shear of the amount of chazer you put into it. That's halacha. In other words, in the din shear, the min hasheni does not play a role.
Only have
the same thing. Now the same thing over here by the kezias of the by the dagon. If you, according to the Rambam, if you don't have the shear, so the Rambam maintains whenever you have a taruvus of tam ki ikir, what's the halacha? The shear always remains the same amount that was placed in originally. So you're lacking in the din shear. So the right. So therefore, you don't have a kezias. So therefore, you require Grera in order to actually give you the chefza, to be mashlin the shia, to give you the chefza of Dorgon. And that's why he says, the Magad Mishnah said that the essence of the halacha, of the Ram's halacha, is Grera. Grera in the chefza. It's a different Grera. It's a different Grera. That's how he answers the Magad Mishnah. It's a different Grera. It's not the Grera that Hashem and Amril also. Hashem and Amril's Grera is a different Grera. It's a Grera in creating the phenomena of Esau. This is a Grera which is in the Chefza. No, the question is, what he's saying is like this. Reb Shimon Gamliel's Grera and the Chacham's Grera are two different things. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, it's simply Grera and the Shem Isa. According to the Chachamim, the Grera actually, how does the Isa, you can't abstract the Isa from the Shem Lechem, according to the Chachamim. In order to have an Isa, you have to have the Shem Lechem. But if a Grera has to create Lechem, so it's Mashlin the Shir. That's why it's the whole Yisoid is, according to the Rambam, is rare. It's a different rare. It's a different grade. A Chacham's grade is a different grade than a Rosh Hashanah world grade. That's what he's saying. Yeah. That's what it is. According to the Rambam, the eight kizaisim halachically only measure one to ten. Most people learn the Rambam in practice. Well, Machalosus, Rambam Paskin is not Tamkiker. The Rambam does not hold Tamkiker. Yes, that's right. That's the point of the Rambam. But the only thing is, Baruch Chaim is bothered with one problem. If you're going to say that, so then what are you going to do with the Rambam that holds that? How is it possible over here to maintain that when it has the tam, that it's good?
By matzah.
Right. I mean, the Rambam over here maintains that you could use the whole that the whole matzah is good, even though it's not made out of grains alone. It just has grains mixed in. So you have to say the Rambam holds tam kikah. Rabbi Rosenthal is bothered with a problem that shouldn't be chotzi shir because you're not partaking of a substance anymore of the chazer. See? It's an abstract din kazayas. It's not partaking of a substance. But the answer is chotzi shir is not halacha of partaking of a substance. Chotzi shir means if you do a ma'is achila which is capable of tziruf to a shir. An action which is a bar hachi of tziruf. It's chazer is tzirufi. He's not allowed to involve himself in a maisa in an action which, by a quantitative increase, you could get involved in a real
shiur. Right, so what do I care now if it's
it doesn't make a difference.
A lachet or a subsequent. That's it. According to that.
The definition of chatzi shiur is what chatzi shiur means is any action, any performance which, if you would add the quantitative process, you would be violating a halacha of Torah. That's what it means. That's chazi shir. And the Gesser Gemara says, that's what it means, chazi litz terufi. Chazi litz terufi means any action which, by adding quantity to it, you can result in a total violation, that's a, that
how
itself
about
is.
That's what it means by maisa.
You can't, by maisa it means to say, it is something because you can add, if you add the quantitative element to it, yeah, I'm just explaining it. If you add the quantitative, it's only lacking in the quantitative element. So, same thing. But it's lacking in the quantitative element. If I ate, if I write. But the Torah says if you eat a kezias, which means if I take five bites, let's say I chew it up into five bites, so the Torah says if you chew, do this much eating, so then you're going to violate. So if I do an action, which is chazi litz terufi, which means if I add more of these actions to it, it'll become an entity of Isser. That is awesome. That's
capable of being added, or I have the ability.
According to this definition of Chatzi Shir, it makes sense what Rav Chaim said, that it's a separate Isser. It's not an Isser in Chazer. It's not an Isser in Chelev. Because in order to be an Isser Chelev, an Isser Chazer, you have to have the Chefza. Not an Isser Chazer. It's just an issa for a person to be involved in an action which could lead to, which eventually is capable of leading to an issa terror. The separatist and the governor shouldn't involve himself in these type of actions. Shouldn't do an action of issa which has halachic recognition. If you eat less than a shear, it has halachic recognition. Why? Because you see, if I add more, so it's going to be mitzurah. So any action which has halachic, which is recognized halachically, as being a an action of Isser in the realm of Isser, even though there's actually no violation yet, but in the realm of Isser it has recognition, has a status, so that action the person is not permitted to involve himself in. Halacha on the gavra is not allowed to do it. It's not Isser Chazer. Why? Just a simple question. Why couldn't you say in the Rambam, without all the complications, just say the Rambam really holds Tam Kikur is not Midaraisa. Doesn't have Tam Kikur. But the only thing is that he happens to hold Greira, and Greira renders the whole thing. So according to what we're saying, it's like this now. Actually, you need Tom Kicker in order that the flower should be considered Chamesh Damim. Okay? How much of a shear do you have in that flower? You have whatever you put in it. So whatever have I should put in, let's say put in half a kazayis. Now what happens is that you make an iso out of it. So Greira tells you that it, that you have a chalashem iso here. question is, in the Chalashem Isa, what is the Din Shir Shabbat? Is the Din Shir Shabbat carried over from the, it's not greater than the amount that you put in to the flour? Or no? Since you have a, since Gerard tells you that there's an Isa, so the Isa is measured in terms of the Isa itself as a substance. So therefore you'll have the Mashkan Mashir. So that's our prime aim. So he, that's why you need both things. That's why Gerard alone doesn't work, because Gerard only works in the characteristics of Lecha. Of Isa. Greer is an exclusive halacha that you have a Shem Isa. But the problem is you don't have a Shem Chamesh Saminim. So the Shem Chamesh Saminim you get from Tam Ki Iker. But the question is the Shir in the Shem Chamesh Saminim carried over into the Isa? Or no? Once it eventuates into an Isa, now you measure the Isa in a different way. You measure the Isa like you measure any substance. You see? So that's the question. That's why the Magid Mishnah says that the emphasis, he emphasizes Grera, because the whole Yisoid is Grera. Without Grera, you have no shear of the Isa, since the Rambam speaking in a case where you have less than a shear. So from the standpoint of Tam Kiker, you don't have more of a shear than that which you put in, which is a Chatzik Isaias, let's say. Right? So in the Isa, you'll never have more than Chatzik Isaias. But why eats it? Because once it eventuates into an Isa and it has a Chalashim Lechem, the whole Isa is a Chalashim Lechem, so then you measure it in a different way. It's measured in a regular way. If you say this, then you avoid what we said before, that there's a different Chalashim Isa and a different Chalashim Lechem. If you say that.
Okay, let's go.
Alright, now we're up to Lechem of War. Now, up till now, Rapayim has shown that Grera is involved in producing the Shem Lechem, right? And it comes out that the Rambam maintains that you don't need a shear. You don't need the amount of kezias. Why? Because where do you get your shear from? You get your shear from Grera. So, all right. So until now, Pam's like this. Then when it comes to the, when I have the grains, I have the five grains and I have the rice together. So Tom Kiika defines it all as the five grains. Now, out of this mixture of grains, I go into the Isa stage. Now, in the Isa stage, Tom Kiika is ineffective. So, but what works? Over there, Grera works. The Rambam says you don't need, it doesn't make any difference what amount of wheat you have. So apparently Grera means that the whole Isa is converted into wheat. That's what Grera means. It all has the characteristics of wheat. Okay, that's the definition of Grera. Alright?
Is that all one thing?
In other words, the Shem Isa and the Shem Chitim is one. So it's all considered, the Isa is considered all as if it's grains. Okay? Now Rav Chaim is going to retract from that position. He's going to retract from that position. That's the way. That's the plain way to learn what Grera does. What does Grera do? Grera actually makes the whole Isa, the entire dough mixture. It gives it a din of the five grains. So now what you have in front of you really is a dough of the five grains. Now Rav Chaim is going to withdraw from that position. All right, that's the Lefi HaMavor. He doesn't like that position. He's not comfortable with the idea that Grera really actually creates an Isa of the five grains.
Mm-hmm. What?
He doesn't like that concept. He doesn't like that position.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to withdraw. Alright? Okay. Now, so his first step is like this. He says, that's what he says, Lefi HaMavor. What is the Lefi HaMavor? Yeshlam, the members gamma Das Aram, Das Arivet, Bein Dafke, Dugin Kishir. So he says, now according to what we're learning up till now, he says, what we could say is, we could very well say that the Rambam requires a Kezias also. And he asks me a question, how can you say the Rambam, a Kezias of grain inside that mixture? But he asked me a question, but all the Rambam said was that you only have to have Dagan, just Tom Dagan. He doesn't mention Kezias. Right? So Rav Chaim says, that's no problem according to the way we're learning. Why? Because we've established that there's two functions of tam. There are two levels of tam. This tam as a part of the halachic institution of tam ke'ikar. That's one type of tam. Then there's tam insofar as the shem lechem is concerned, the shem isa is concerned, in the isa stage, in the second stage. There are two stages. There's tam in the first stage, which makes the whole mixture din of tam kicker. Then there's tam in the second stage, which gives the whole mixture the quality, that quality of an isa, of dough, of lechem. Right? So tam comes in on two separate levels. So he says, if that's the case, so then all I have to say is that when the Rambam spoke about tam, he wasn't speaking about tam on the primary level, insofar as the mixture of the chitim and the oriz is concerned. He was speaking about tam on which level? On the qualitative level, on the quality level, on the level of the characteristics of dough, you see? On that level, he was speaking about tam. But actually, he makes no reference whatsoever to the first level. Which means, and how does the Rambam happen to hold on the first level? The Rambam, in other words, is a tam ki ikir. There's two conceptual institutions here. One is tam ki ikir as far as the substance is concerned. What is the substance defined as? That's one thing. Then I'm concerned with the characteristics that emerge from the substance. That's insofar as the isa and the lechem is concerned, right? So Reb Chaim says, since there are two separate levels here, two separate stages that I'm dealing with, so there is no proof anymore that the Rambam is maintaining that you don't need a shear, because that's on the substance level. On that level, he's not talking about. Why? Because he relies on what he wrote in the Hilchos Machalos Asuros. And then the substance level, you must have a kezias of the substance in order to have a din of tam kiker. You see, so that he's not talking about. But what if he's only concerned with the chalashim lechem over here? So that's why he says, that's why he doesn't discuss the amounts, because in terms of the chalashim lechem, as long as it has the tam, it has the characteristic. That's what makes the dough. That's what gives the dough a shem of the dough. So since the Rambam is only discussing this level, the level of the characteristics of dough, on that level, all the tam over there is enough. Once I have tam, so then I have the characteristics of lechem, then it's fine. But the question of what the substance is, what's the technical definition of the substance, that of the mixture, that the Rambam relies on the Sinachal Asuras. Tom Kiki, you must have a Kazayas, but the Echilus Press. You see, the Rambam is only discussing the Din Lechem. That's what he says. If that's the case, then the Rambam could be in agreement with the Rivet. That really, what do you need? In other words, in order to be Yotze, on the level of the substance of the grain itself, in order to be Yotze, you must have a Kazayas. All he's saying is that if you have the tam in the mixture, then it has a chal Hashem lechem, then the Shem lechem can emerge, then the dough can become a Shem lechem. Alright? So therefore we have the Rambam could very well be in agreement with the Raver that you must have what? A kezias. Okay? Chaim does not like that position that the dough somehow is a dough from Esh Samina when it's mainly Ores. Doesn't like that position. What do you do? What does he like to, what position does he like? No, the dough is not considered dough from Esh Samina, but it is considered a dough. So you need the shear of the Chamesha Saminim in order to be in order to have a dough of the Chamesha Saminim. Okay? In other words, according to our Chaim, the concept of Gera just does one thing. What does it do? It creates the dough phenomena. That's what it does. It creates the dough phenomena. You see? Once you have the dough phenomena, now how much of the dough really is bread depends upon how much of the dough is from the five grains. He doesn't like the idea that you could have bread that's not from the five grains. You see? So therefore he says, Gerera does one thing. Gerera is only halacha that it creates the phenomenon of dough. But it does not create bread. See, bread you can't get by without the Chamesh Shamim. That's impossible. See? That's what he maintains. Seems to be the other way. Seems to be also logical. You have the Chamesh Shamim, you have the Shem Chamesh Shamim from the Tam Ki Iker in the mixture, and then Gerera produces the dough. What's wrong with that? So now you have dough from the Chamesh Shamim. No, he doesn't like the idea. He doesn't like the idea that you could have dough that's not from the Chamesh Shamim. The only thing that Gerera can do is he can tell me that I have a phenomenon of dough in front of me. But how much of that dough is going to be bread depends upon one thing. Okay. How much of it is from the Chamesh Shamim? That's mm-hmm. what he maintains. Okay? Of course, there's one problem. What's the problem? The Chachomim. Because the Chachomim argue with Rav Shimon Gamliel. And they say that they say you don't need any amount. So what is he making the Rambam better than the Chachamim? I mean, you're not going to gain anything. You're not going to gain anything conceptually if you want to maintain the Rambam doesn't hold a position because it doesn't. It's not in accordance with his sense of halacha. If you have the Chachamim hold that way, all right. So now he goes. Now we have to tackle that problem. Problem of the Chachamim. All right. So what does he say? That's why he says Ubeemes lo Chacham the pliga arshin of Leo, with three with love and vagin kashir, tzarachin. Got it? Looks in there he's stuck because the Chacham maintain that any amount of the five grains is going to produce challah. So you see that concept is true that it is considered for the chamesh shamim. Okay.
What's
the question? Raise the question. He says there's two halachas. There's two halachic institutions there. You have challah and you have matzah. Now challah means when the dough you have a certain amount of dough you must take a certain amount off for challah, right? Then there's another halacha that dough results in, and that's matzah. Dough results in two separate halachic phenomena. Now Rav Chaim says that they're not to be treated equally. That I could say that with regard to challah, I could say you don't require a shear. Okay? However, with regard to matzah, you do require a shear. How can you differentiate between those two? No, with regard to challah, you'll be chayav even if you don't have a shear chamesh shamim, even if you don't have a gezayis chamesh shamim. However, with regard to matzah, you will not be yotze matzah unless you have a shear from chamesh shamim. Alright? This way, what our plan does is, he answers the Chachamim. You see that the Rambam, there is no Chachamim that holds that the entire thing is really Chamesh Shanim. Alright? Now, what's the answer for this? That's the next point to make. Alright, so now, so this last part, what I'm saying is like this, that there's two types of shear. There's a shear where you have a shear that results from having a certain substance. You need an X amount of a certain substance. What type of substance you need, the type of substance that's chayav in something. Okay? That's one type of shear. But over here, you're dealing with a different kind of a shear. What is the shear of 3/4? Why is it like a regular shear, like a zayas, like a bacon? The answer is because less than 3/4, you don't have the quality of of an isa. In order to have the quality of an isa, you need a certain quantity. You need 3/4. Less than that, it's too minuscule, it's too insignificant. So the halacha over here with regard to Grera merely says one thing. It doesn't say that the whole thing is really a sheer chitim. It doesn't say the whole thing is chamesh shamim. What it says is that if the chitim are involved in a 3/4 entity of Esau, so now you cannot say that those chitim, let's say it's a 1/4 quart of wheat flour and 2.5 quarts of rice flour that make up the Esau. So you cannot say now that the chitim are an insignificant entity and don't partake of the phenomena of Isa, as if they were isolated. If they were isolated, you just had this 1/4 quart of wheat flour and you mixed it up with water. It's nothing. It's a non-entity. It's insignificant. It cannot have partake of the significance of an entity of Isa. However, Grera tells you that if it's part of a greater whole, if it's involved in a greater whole of orez, of rice flour mixture, dough mixture, so then you cannot say anymore that this wheat is insignificant insofar as a dough is concerned. That is not considered dough because it doesn't have enough, doesn't have a 3/4 quantity in order to be considered to have the quality of dough. You see, that's the halacha and shear. That's a special halacha and shear, and that's only that type of shear is only possible by something which is a qualitative entity, so to speak, like dough. It's a qualitative entity. So there, that type of shear is possible. That's what it means, is mashlim the shear. But insofar as chiyuv matzah is concerned, in matzah you need enough of the chamesh saminim to have a chet shel matzah. And anything that's not the chamesh shamim doesn't have the chefza shel matzah. It's not. You're talking about the chefza per se, the substance per se. That's a different kind of a shear. That kind of a shear, you must have the actual chamesh shamim. This by dough is a different kind of a shear over here, a different kind of type of phenomena altogether. You see? And that's where our client brings further from chametz too. It says chametz also is a shear of chametz. That's why the Rambam doesn't distinguish that it's always chametz b'chdei achilas pras, And you can't say Grera with regard to Chumash, because Grera is a different halacha. Grera is only halacha with regard to the with regard to the phenomena of dough, that it gives a shear, it gives the chameshis amin that are involved, it considers them involved in the phenomena of dough. That's a different kind of halacha of shear altogether. See? That's the part. That's what Rav Chaim accomplishes in this paragraph. He reaches the climax in this last paragraph. He reaches the climax with regard to what the precise definition of Grera is. What is it doing? Now, basically, what Grera tells you is that now it's not insignificant. If it was alone, it would be insignificant. If it's with the other flower, it's not in part of an insignificant entity. The entity is there. The entity of Issa is there. Now he's quoting Tesis, and he says Tesis is against what he's saying on two counts, really. First of all, Tesis is against what he says, because Tesis is maintaining that since we have Tam Ki Iker, so now you have the Kezias of the Dagon, and that will be preserved, so that in the next stage it'll be a Kamen Issa. That's one. And two, what's the advantage of Orez and Chitim, according to Tesis? Orez must have an advantage. So Orez must be that it's all converted. It all becomes converted. Right? Okay. The rice becomes converted. So therefore you have, that's against the prime in two counts. You understand? Noah's Grera actually converts the rice. Alright, so let's go back. So now how he answers it. According to Tesis, you're saying that as long as you have the Kazayas Matzah and the Tavlin, it's okay. Why? Because Tam Kikar. But Tam Kikar is fine, but is Bittel there, and how are you going to have the Shem Lechem? So the answer is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, where is the Shem Lechem fixed? In the Issa. So therefore, it's just like according to the Ravid, where you mix the Matzah together with the Tavlin. Because it's Rabbeinu Tam, all the speaking, where I take the dough, I take the Kazayas of Chitim, and I mix it with water, and I make a dough out of it, make an Issa out of it. Then I mix in the Tavlin, right? Yeah. Then I mix in the Tavlin. So it has a Shem Issa right away in the beginning. Yeah. Has a Shem Issa to begin with.
What?
So now it's just a question of, right, now it's just a question whether the Shem Lechem pervades the entire entity. So that Tesis says is Tam Ki Iker. But by the case of the Orez, it's not that Tesis maintains that the Orez is actually be converted into the Chitim, but what does it mean? It means, over there you speak when you mix the flour and the dough simultaneously. So then you have a Shem Issa. So therefore you need the Lach of Grera to let the Shem Issa emerge. Mm-hmm. The last proof he brings that this is so is that Rabbeinu Tam himself holds Tam Ki Iker and calls Tarfula. And he holds a lot. He also thinks we have Kazayas in the mixture. Tam in the mixture, so the whole Kazayas from every part of the mixture, if I have on. So he says, and where does he bring Raya from? He brings Raya from Oris Lechitim. But if I'm going to say that taste was really held before, that the that Oris Lechitim is really that all the time Kikar does preserve the Dagon, so then what's the advantage of Oris Lechitim is going to be that it creates a Grera? Right. So then you're going to have to say the way you were saying before in Tesis. He's going to say that the Kezias by the Tavlin is preserved because of Tam Ki Iker. So what's the advantage of Orez? Grera. So Grera means it actually became a substance of Chamesh Aminim. So then what's the Rabbeinu Tam's proof of Tam Ki Iker called Tarakula? It's a separate halach of Grera there. So you see he holds that the Orez, that Orez is that by Orez there's no halach of that it becomes Chamesh Aminim actually. You see? So it remains only preserves the Kezias. So if that's the case, so then you have to say, then what's the case of Tavlin? So what's Tavlin? Tavlin, you can't say Tavlin is equal to Orez. So you have to say that by Tavlin speaking, where it actually became an Issa already. You see? And it came a Shem Lechem, and then you're mixing it in. You see? But if it was before that, you wouldn't work because you'd be Grera. Okay?
So that's Grera is there.
There's no shiur midrash in how much challah you have to give. Of course, you require three quarters on the bechayv and challah. So the grera, the orez, gives you need a chefta shalisa. Three quarters constitutes a chefta shalisa. The orez gives the whole isa a din chefta shalisa. So it gives it the quality of the quantity that creates a chefta shalisa. Okay, that's what Chaim means, that the halacha. That it halacha applies in challah where there's a din chetzah, where there's a din shear in the chetzah. It means that there's a The shear thing is the shear of the fellowship chetzer shalisa. That's what the aura gives to the chitin. It creates a chetzer. It helps to create a chetzer shalisa. Then the chitin is high.
Okay.
Okay, so what do